がまだ僕ら寝転んだまま飽きそうなくらい空を見て最後に立ち上がったのはいつだろう。あの遠く向こうで誰かが
Welcome back to an episode of the Calicom Blogcast, and this one is, I don't want to say special, but something we haven't done in a while, and this is the only thing we're going to talk about tonight. We are going to review the Sword Art Online, the movie progressive Shizuro?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Cause your opinion don't matter. This maniac is gonna step on whomever.
I mean, first things first, Matt, you think you could just hold me back like one of your toys in the attic? Just thinking like, oh, well, just because I have to go on a short break for a little bit, you think that you could just talk about any movie that you want to talk about, especially when it's involving my waifu? Uh-huh. Oh, it's so good to be back. Wow. Shirts of a deep night. Can't believe you can't pronounce that one either. Jeez, just like Toru Furuta, eh, Matt? Oh, man. So, on top of being out of the blog, you bring me back in when it comes in for SAO. Unfortunately, man, I hate to do this to you, but when it came to the blog, when it comes down to everything, to the very humble beginnings of this podcast, of everything when it came to reporting for the conventions, you need me, man. And I'm so glad to be back. But, it's been kind of empty in here. What's been going on, fellas?
I'm not leaving. I'm not fucking leaving! The show goes on! This is my home! They're gonna need a fucking wrecking ball to take me out of here! They're gonna need to send in the National Guard or fucking SWAT team, cause I ain't going nowhere! Fuck them!
Yes, everyone. Like, we brought back some other people. Ryan is finally back off of his short hiatus, took care of some stuff. But now he is here to just talk about Sword Art, and then he's going away for another couple months. Right, Jericho?
I'm pretty sure I saw him in electrical. That fucker was just standing there menacingly, and I was just trying to do my tasks. So I say we vote him out.
I'm not gonna press the emergency button just yet.
Come on, man.
He might be useful down the line.
I'm an engineer, man. I've been checking the vents and making sure that I don't get eaten in the vents. So yeah, I know how that play works, fellas. Try again.
Look, besides, we have two AFK players anyway, so we're not going to know the full picture. For all we know, Nate or Levi could be the killer, ultimately, and we just don't know. But for sure, they're AFK right now, so We're gonna have to wait a week at least for them to show up again. But in the meantime, yes, we are going to talk about the second Sword Art Online, the movie Progressive. This is the direct sequel to Sword Art Online, the movie Progressive Aria of a Starless Night, which came out, because this SAO movie came out a little bit later than when SAO Progressive 1 came out, which was, I want to say, like, November of 2021? Like, December, because, yeah, we did it right before we previewed the Game Awards that year.
That's true, it was right before my birthday, that's right.
Yeah, so for us, for have to wait all the way to February to watch this movie is a little bit, okay, all right. But with SAO Progressive 2, where we last left off is that they were on floor 4.
Yeah, they at least in the previous movie they just cleared the first boss, but now they're fighting the floor 4 boss at the beginning of the
Okay,
movie.
Okay, so we start with them almost about to clear the fourth floor.
If you look at it from the way that the anime was structured, the first movie covered like the first one, like first episode mostly, and then a little bit into episode 2. It's mostly end of episode 2, 3, and 4 that we cover in Scherzo.
Okay. So, yeah, because I was going to say, the majority of this movie takes place on floor 5, which, gotta remember, SAO started around October, November, right? November of last year, if we're talking about real time.
So, yeah, November of last year, 10,000 players got trapped in the VR world. See, I knew video games would kill you.
It's kind of ironic that we actually just celebrated New Year's, and then, of course, the movie celebrated New Year's, and now, like, technically speaking, I want to say by time frame-wise, we're probably right where they are in the game right now, if it was realistically speaking, it was happening in real life.
How do I want to approach this review? Because I look at it from, first of all, a plot point. So I think there's like three running plot lines in this movie. Number one is development of Kirito and Asuna's relationship. Number two is the fight between the two big,
guilds.
The guilds, clans, over this staff that can give a flag that can give a boost,
the perma boost to the entire guild, but only one guild could claim it.
Yeah, there we go. And then this whole thing about PKers or player killers, which I'm gonna get
free to. Laughing Coffin, I think.
For those unfamiliar, yes, it is the entire Laughing Coffin guild that we're barely finding out about. This is gonna be playing, I do wanna say from experience of watching and reading both SAO and the Progressive and animes, as well as the light novels, Laughing Coffin is just being barely like brought into this movie even more so. I kind of feel like they're more left in the sidelines, and we'll get to that later on when we kind of towards like the other end of the movie. But Laughing Coffin will be primarily one of the biggest players in the third, and if I have to guess, maybe fourth movie if we get to that far. But right now, we're pretty much like middle, kind of like the middle, like, or like beginning to mid of the actual anime series. So, ideally speaking, we're gonna see a lot more of the later series where Asuna decides to join Knights of Blood when the guild actually forms. We're gonna see more of the Laughing Coffin do more PKing in the villages where it's supposed to be the safe zone, which is one of the earlier episodes in the actual anime. Honestly, Laughing Coffin was kind of like sidelined, I feel, in this movie, and I feel like they should have had more of a presence. I was kind of expecting that. Well, we'll get back to that.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense, because you gotta remember, I'm the one that is coming into this franchise trying to watch it from a progressive point of view, kind of forgetting what happened in the anime and remembering that, yes, Sword Art Online is a shit franchise. That makes more sense that we didn't get a resolution immediately to the PKers like I thought was going to happen during that last part of the movie. Because when I saw that, I looked at my watch. I was like, okay, we might know the half hour of this because they're going to solve this shit right away. And then they never went to it. Now it makes more sense that this is what you guys are saying it is, and it's going to be explored more in the third movie. It's not like it's like this breakaway group that they just have to take care of really quick. No, this is a larger conspiracy that's going to be explored within the Sword Art franchise, and more importantly, the progressive movies.
That's true. And I will have to say, too, from one of the big players in Laughing Coffin that was holding both Kirito and Asuna at knife point, he plays a big, big fucking role in Alization. So pay attention to that once you do end up watching.
No, I remember his role. Like, he was actually quite fucking threatening. And honestly, like, I really dug his character in Alicization. I just don't like how it ended, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
That particular fight, but you know, but that goes into my larger complaints later in this discussion.
Well, the thing is, I'm gonna immediately come off right off the bat and immediately complain because I don't know if it was just the fact that out of it, just because I just came off a 12-hour work shift, out of it, just because I just downed a burrito that I was able to smuggle into the movie theater.
Hell yeah!
But after that initial boss fight that clears the fourth floor and you go to the fifth floor, I almost went to sleep because it just went on and on and on and on. And I'm like, can we get somewhere with this shit, please? It was on and on and on until we finally got to the part when we got to the catacombs, like, okay, some shit's happening. And then it kind of like, okay, we had a flash of action. And then it was like on and on. And then we finally got to the good shit, like the whole, who's the gremlin chick again? The small ass chick again? Argo, sorry.
Argo?
So we went the whole Argo Asuna fight. We had the Asuna
Mito fight. That was pretty dank.
Yeah, we'll get that in a moment. We had the whole major boss fight, and then some of the stuff with the PKers. So I don't know if it was me, but immediately the first 30 minutes of this movie fell flat compared to Arya vs. Dragon Knight. And it could be just because the first 30 minutes of it was more engaging, because that was like the setup prior to the beginning of SEO when everybody got in. It was more interesting that way. Which, by the way, it was highly ironic that I forgot when they were. It might have been during the Asuna Mito fight that they flashed back to when they first met and they're on the rooftop and they're playing Tekken 7 on the phones. And again, the ironicity was that weekend was TWT finals in Amsterdam.
Nice.
So I was like, wait a minute. I'm watching Tekken 7 on the screen like I saw in the first one. Then I'm going to go home and watch this debacle known as the TWT Finals over in Amsterdam, which was won by Antif Butt of Pakistan. But I digress. So I was like, I thought about that, but I don't know if it was just because, like, at that point, everything within SAO had been established, and then you're just trying to get through, oh, yeah, we're trying to figure out this whole guild thing. Oh, we're just trying to figure out how to get to the 4 or 5 boss. And it just went on and on and on. And again, I almost went to sleep. And I got woken up when I realized, oh, shit, stuff is actually happening.
Well, as I was trying to say earlier, honestly, like, I kind of am in agreement a little bit with what you're saying, but we also have to look into realization. Before SAO, the anime was ever a thing, I think I've explained this in the prior podcast in the past. You have to remember, Reki Kurokawa was like really, really rushed by Kadokawa to get this anime out. Hence the reason why a lot of things that were in the main anime were not really understandable, or at least felt rushed. So ideally, this is why the progressive movies are existing, not to mention to cover the light novels as well. Now, going back to what you were saying, though, honestly, like, I felt like the beginning kind of did drag on. It's unfortunate. I hate to say this. They did Asuna wrong. They did my girl wrong in this movie.
They did so many things wrong with her. Except for one part, and we'll get to that towards the very end.
But honestly, like, they did Asuna wrong in this movie. Like, sure, we get to see an Aria where she's like kind of new to the game. She's kind of understanding, trying to not die, but also trying to learn the game. She's still amateurish, but we see her progress and we see her grow as a character, but we also see her like progress through the game and actually get better at the game, understand the game better, like become that proper like fencer that we know her as, her athleticism. We see all that. We do see some of that in this movie, but I just feel that we go back to it. It's like, oh, hey, wait, I'm all looking at this like, wait, why does she seem so amateurish again? Like, she's flopping around or at least kind of like being clumsy when we know that she knows what she's doing. She knows the game better. She's getting all this progression. And yet it seems like we're going back to literally the world of beginning Asuna. It's like, what are we doing, guys? Like, what's going on here? Like, I get it. We have to see some development between her and Kirito. We obviously are crushing on Kirito the entire movie. But, like, what are we doing?
When I saw that Asuna was distracted by a side quest for, like, low-rate treasure, I'm like, okay, why are we going down this route for? Okay, so we can show up to the catacombs. And then all that happened. And what happened? She lost her really, really, really good sword that, that Mito... It was
so the charm that Mito gave her, pretty much she forged it out of that, and pretty much that sword has a lot of good abilities. It's not like her final, like, it's not the final Reaper she's going to get, but for the one that she has throughout the first two movies, it has the most sentimental value, but also has the most decent attack value, and good stat-wise is also one of the greatest that she beholds until she gets.
Yeah.
Her last one.
So it was like, oh god, she lost her sword. Oh, she's about to uncover the plot of the
Laughing Coffin.
Of the Laughing Coffin. Was it Laughing Coffin, or was it the whole we're striking a deal to
it's proto Laughing Coffin.
No. I was talking about like the whole we're going to leave the New Year's Eve party early to go after the raid boss to get the flag, or was that later on?
I mean, the guild war thing, or at least the clash between the guilds, that was kind of like early to mid throughout the film. But you have to also remember that was orchestrated by Laughing Coffin.
Oh, okay. That,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's like, oh, it's highly convenient that, oh my god, here comes Kirito to save the day, and hey, the sword is actually there, and we'll get to the later parts of the movie, but it felt like we just went back to this whole damsel in distress that got me off put of the first half of SAO into not Aincrad.
Fairy dance.
I'm like, oh god, are we going back to fairy dance Asuna, where she's got to be saved at every single fucking point of this movie? Because it wasn't like, oh hey, highly convenient plot point, and you know, it's just, I'm just sitting there, I'm like, no, are we really going this way? Really?
Okay, you know, I would excuse the whole highly convenient plot points if it was solely Asuna, like, figuring it out, getting her sword, listening into to Laughing Coffin, getting herself out of the catacombs. You know, like, if she was the one who got herself out of that situation, I could excuse that, because that'd be part of her growth. It'd show more of her tenacity, like more cunning, more strength coming from her. Like, she's actually becoming a player in the game. But no, Kirito has to walk right in, solve the problem again.
So, like always. So how do we feel about Mito saving Asuna during the Golem fight? because it feels like almost the same exact thing, but then you gotta remember
almost,
what happened.
Yeah.
No, quite. I was gonna say, it's not quite, because you gotta remember, in Are You Still This Night, Mito was the one that abandoned Asuna during one of the major fights that defined that relationship. And then, of course, we had their duel to determine whether or not she would be part of the raid party for the Golem fight. And then Asuna got trapped, and then here comes Mito. The fact that Mito came in and saved her, I think that's fine, because it shows the growth in Mito, not only as a friend to Asuna, and like a second person behind Kirito that she could trust, but also like a retribution factor of, hey, I'm sorry I abandoned you. Now, here I am to save you when you're most needed. It's just highly convenient that Mito's new moves, A, saves her ass, and B, is the key factor in beating the Golem fight. If it wasn't for Mito, I don't think they would have beaten the Golem. I mean, at least in the time that it took them to do it. I mean, they could have figured out a way, because there could have been ass pulls from Kirito and Asuna and Argo. But Mito made it highly convenient that, oh shit, she can now reach places where the eye is at, like all the way up in the fucking sky, like a spirit, like, god damn it. I'm trying to do a Spirit of the Sky reference.
It's like the fucking Rykard boss fight from Elden Ring. Like, it's your chance to use like this specific weapon for this specific fight. Because, oh, hey, you know, it's cool looking and stuff. That's what Mito is. She's that specific weapon. She's the giant killer fighting against Yorm. She's like the Storm Ruler in Demon Souls. Mito is that.
Yeah.
Like,
she's going to be making more Bandai references again, not to mention, like, jokingly saying that, like, Sword Art games are also made by Bandai. So, like, can we make any more Bandai references, you guys? Let's keep it rolling. Just keep it going.
But plot aside, I want to say that the movie was decent. I'll say that Art Star Wars was better, but that doesn't mean that this movie had its moments. It's done by A1 Pictures, of course, which has done Sword Art and a whole bunch of other anime and a lot of movies. And of course, the movie is crisp as fuck. It's clean. It's fluid. All of the attacks like pop out at you on that screen. It's so much better than watching it like on a, you know, like on a TV or, you know, on a computer screen. It was so vibrant for what it was, you know, displaying the colors of the world as is, both outside as well as like inside.
If I hate to cut you short there. If I could just get like one, like a little bit of my 10 cents for the whole like last fight for Mito and all of them.
Like, no. I think we're rolling into that. Because we're talking about highly convenient plot points of where Asuna need to be saved, and one of them was during that boss fight. But we'll get to the boss fight in itself later on, because we still got to talk about some of the other things. Like, for example, like the two side fights, of course, was both involved Asuna. You know, one was the Asuna Argo poolside duel, which didn't really mean anything. Then, of course, the one that we mentioned was the Asuna Mito fight to determine whether or not she was going to be part of the raid party. To determine whether or not she was going to be part of the raiding boss party.
Just kind of recapping, it's like the first boss, like the boss that we get in the beginning of the movie that they clear, and they move on to the next, floor. Then we have the whole raiding, drama between both the guilds, and then eventually it becomes to the point where, like, okay, Laughing Coffin collaborates a plan to get to kill off both of them, so Laughing Coffin can take the flag. So we have to worry about that drama. Going from there, Kirito intercepts and they take it in place of that. We have to remember where there's that fight where they fight the boss ahead of the guilds to make sure that the one doesn't get it and hog it to themselves. This is another plot point I have reason to believe when it comes to that, is the reason why Knights of the Blood is going to be a big thing, because that flag will become a big cornerstone later in the other movie. But that's just a speculation on my end. Ideally, from there, we go to the planning points of finding, like, Black Coffin, they have the New Year's party, and then we head into the catacombs and all that jazz. We come back up, it's the New Year's party after the whole big boss fight. And then we have the whole Laughing Coughing incident toward the end of the movie. But that's pretty much outside of the big fight. We do have the Argo Asuna fight towards the middle of the movie. And then we have the Mito Asuna fight towards the end to determine, is she going to be part of the boss raid?
I'd say in terms of overall plot, I don't think there was a whole lot going. Like, in terms of the overall story of SAO.
Again, we are looking at not even close to the midway point yet. I mean, we are just seeing more of development on Asuna and Kirito.
It's like, okay, hear me out. It's kind of like what they did for The Hobbits. They tried to stretch out 3 movies within the 1 book. This is how that's how I feel right now with the second movie. The first movie was great. Bar none, it was great. Like, the drama, with Asuna trying to, learn and adapt to her new situation in the new world. Yeah, that was great. This one, mid.
I mean, I'm not going to say, like, compared to the other movies, such as Ordinal Scale or Progressive One, I will say, like, it's not the greatest to see her fall back into her old habits. But, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with Matt saying that the animation budget, as we've seen after Alization, after we've seen for Progressive, after we've seen...
Oh, no, no, don't get me wrong. I, like, by far, like, it's like it's great animation. Like, I agree with Matt's assessment. It's just the plot was mid.
I agree. I think we should have saw more, as I said earlier in the pod, I think we should have saw a lot more Laughing Coffin, or at least have more of the not so, like, sneaky undertones of Laughing Coffin. But I mean, for those of us in the know that know what's going to happen, or at least those of us in the know of the anime, we know that Laughing Coffin's going to play a big role. But I wish they had more of a larger plot point in this movie. I wish that we got to I believe it's the 7th or 12th floor. They go to when the actual murder happens in the safe zone, and then kind of end it up on that point. So that leaves the big mystery of more Laughing Coffin. Wait, what are we expecting? What are we looking forward to? I also, No, I'll keep that character in the shadows for now, because I know there's another character that's a big progressive character that's for Laughing Coffin. I'm not saying who or what, but that is something that we're going to come down to later down the line. Another thing is, guys, we have to look at it too. We're still, like, I know we're not quite to Knights of the Blood Oath yet. We're not quite to where Kirito has met the
Ryan, I understand what you're talking about here. Like, we're not there at the juicier moments yet. But here's the problem is that the movie in itself needs to be juicy to lead up to that. Like consider the MCU, right? All the Marvel movies are basically pretty good standalone, but they all lead into, the Avengers, like the big, the whole thing with Thanos, Infinity War, Endgame, right? But all those movies, they're pretty good by themselves. Right now, I feel that Skirts of the Deep Knight wasn't that great.
But also, too, the movie, because Jericho, I think he told me about this, of when this movie, like, in terms of the Sword Art timeline.
I got a bone to pick.
I want to hear this.
I got a fucking bone to pick, okay? So, explain to me, Kawahara, and maybe you can argue for him, Ryan, because you read the light novels. So, the movie takes place roughly around the winter season, right? Right after Christmas, definitely at New Year's, right?
Right.
Now, let's remember what happens around.
You shut your whore mouth. No. You shut your whore mouth.
You. Fuck you, dude. I'm bringing up Sachi. What the fuck is that? Here? Are you telling me Kirito? No, okay, no, like, no, seriously, think about it. Plot point, all right? Like, or like, you know, where the fuck was the plot? In between Kirito joining Sachi's guild, her dying, him having the PTSD, the whole thing with the fucking Santa, like, or like Evil Nick or some shit like that.
Claws, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. And then immediately progressive happens. And he's totally fine with teaming up with Asuna the entire fucking time, even though he was just traumatized about being in a group. No! That doesn't make any goddamn sense!
Okay. So, yeah, he's traumatized. He's still dealing with that. He's still dealing with the fact that everyone's accusing him of being a beater. You know, obviously, we got that in the first movie. We didn't get to... Okay, so yeah, we're right. You're right. We didn't get to see anything for Sachi in the between the two films. I'm sorry on that behalf. I'm not Kawahara. I'm not A1 Pictures. I'm not anything affiliated outside of being a fan of this anime, but and the light novels and manga. But ideally, the fact of the matter is that throughout the light novels, he's not. He doesn't let that shit go. He obviously is stuck. He's traumatized by it. He's permanently bothered by it. We have the whole beater problem, which makes him even more depressed. He has no one to really rely on. And then he runs, I mean, we all know that he does run into Asuna in the beginning of the very first floor of the World of Beginnings. But on the floor of Beginnings, we move on from there. Sachi dies. Unfortunately, he's traumatized. And then from here on, and this is where we go back and forth between the perspective of Kirito in the anime and then Kirito from the eyes, or at least maybe from the perspective of seeing it in progressive. Which is, again, we have to focus more on Asuna, not Kirito.
Okay, I would forgive that. I would totally buy into that. Not gonna lie, I would. If most of the movie was from Asuna's perspective, and there's a lot less Kirito.
Because... I mean, we saw that a lot in the first movie, but I'm really kind of surprised. No, but I'm
talking about the second movie. Look.
No. I was about to say, I am rather surprised we did not see more perspective of Asuna on this film, where it was more divided between the two. Now, my biggest thing is for the next movie, I think we're actually going to go back to more Asuna perspective. Because we also have to remember, as I was going to say earlier, none of the rest of the well-known cast is here yet outside of Agil. I mean, like, Klein is on the sidelines. Like, come back when you're main character, Klein. Like, honestly, we know that. But... We have to remember none of the other main cast is here yet. Freaking Silica's not here yet.
Okay, but that doesn't solve the argument for me. You're telling me within several weeks before leading up to this movie, Kirito goes through some major PTSD about losing someone he called a friend, you know, right in front of him. And then next thing you know, he's celebrating New Year's Eve, having fun with you know, his other friends. Okay, I'm sorry, but PTSD does not work that way.
When you beat the shit out of many things in the online world, yes, you can.
Yeah, because you're Kirito, you're the OP boy, you're broken as fuck.
But they don't know that yet.
Yeah, but we all know that he's broken as fuck, and he's this iron-willed person that can just get through.
He's not entirely ironclad, though.
Not yet, but we're gonna get there at some point.
I don't know. Like, honestly, dealing with Sachi's death and then just kind of playing it solo, hence the reason why we have so much concern from Austin.
He's solo for what? A couple weeks? 2-3 weeks at best, and he's back to partnering with Asuna right before New Year's, clearing level four, floor four. It'd be like, all that trauma. Let's get sidelined because I'm with the waifu and Argo and like all these other folks. Forget Sachi. Sachi who?
Who?
Who's Rem? Oh.
I love Amelia. dangly parts. Anyways.
But no, like, that's just the one thing that bothers me. So, unless progressive movies somehow, in some way, address that, then for me, I consider that, like, you know, like, it, like, what, like, what's the deal with the writing? Like,
if it ever I would
honestly buy into the whole thing about, oh, this is Asuna's perspective. This is what, how Asuna sees Kirito. Okay, yeah, sure. But the thing is, it's not exclusively Asuna's perspective the entire time. We still see, like, perspective from other folks too. Yeah. So that's where it bothers me. Like, if it's going to be in Asuna's perspective, keep it Asuna's perspective. Like, maybe she doesn't see the hidden hurts that Kirito has. You know, and that's, you know, and I can deal with that. I can live with that. That Kirito is trying to be, you know, trying to be that Stepford Smiler, trying to keep a, you know, a brave face for Asuna and all the rest of his friends or people he's made relationships with, and trying to, like, you know, oh, hey, you know, we're going to get through this together. But inside, he's suffering. I can deal with that. I can live with that. But the fact that, you know, it's going, the perspective shifts from Asuna to all these other characters, and, like, some of them I don't give two shits about. I don't give two shits about Diablo. Not Diablo. Keeble. What? Fucking hair, dude. Yeah. I don't care. I don't care about him. I don't care about half these people.
I mean, they were mostly...
Keep it to Asuna. Like, that's the thing. And that's where I felt it fell flat. It's that, you know, that's where the first movie shined. That's where, like, you know, we saw Asuna grow. We saw her perspective. We saw the fear, like, you know, her and in her development. I wanted to see more of that. But no, it was more of the same whole SAO, Kirito's a fucking best bullshit. So, like, that's why, you know, second movie, mid.
I'm going to accept that for the fact of how you've explained it. I'm not giving any, like, credit or any justice to the fact that this movie did not mainly focus on what we got, like, focus on awesome, like, how we did it with progressive Aria, but, like, I just feel, and I got this good feeling about it, that when we go to 3, if and when we see it, that we're going to see the proper perspective and go back to that perspective. We're going to go back to just focusing on Asuna. We're not, I mean, at this point on, we're going to think about it. And I know we're not focusing on, as I was just trying to make the point before, is just the fact that Kirito's upset. He's up by himself. He parties over Asuna for, like, up to New Year's. After this New Year's event, this is where we're going to run into all the other major players that, like, brings him back to old Kiri boy as we know him. But I'm not going to say that what you're saying is wrong, because of the fact that it does fall flat. We do need to see more perspective of Asuna if we're going to try to keep the attention on Asuna. But also, the fact of the matter is that we...
Well,
go ahead.
No, I pray to God it stays on Asuna, because, you know, I'm glad you agree with me in that regard. But we all know what happens when someone popular comes along, or people want more of the fucking same. That's how Gundam Seed Destiny happened. You know, we didn't want to focus on Shin. No, fucking Fukuda wanted to focus on goddamn Jesus Yamato, didn't he?
We don't talk about that.
But he's well, Yamato I'm fucking invoking, for a reason.
Jericho. I'm invoking it because this is how I feel. This is how I feel like it's gonna go. Like, if Ryan's wrong.
Well, we're gonna have to find out in the next 2 years, if whether or not that actually happens. Because I made a remark at the very end of the movie. I said to all over the theater, "See you all next year," because I know we'll be back at the same theater watching the third and probably the fourth movies the year after that.
You know what's ironic is that the first movie actually had an end credit scene, and I was, like, really, really excited to look when I was watching the screening with Jericho and Chantal. The fact of the matter is that, it's like, I said, "What are you waiting? Like, why are you guys leaving? Come back, stay here. There's gonna be an after credits scene. We're gonna see part 3. I already know they're gonna announce it." Waiting, hearing all air, like, all the way through, and then next thing the screen goes black. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, literally, like, you can hear me scream, like yell from halfway across the auditorium. Like, are you fucking kidding me? What a fucking cock tease! And, like, everyone's turning around, like, yeah, like, what, like,
I think it was just the one said, yeah, I think that's just you shouting.
Well, we got two things. We got Asuna in her proper uniform that we all know her from, and they were holding kids at the end. What, that wasn't a win for you, Ryan?
I mean, that is the end. That's the end of all, like, end of Iron Cred scene, like, towards then. But, like, we all know that we already know from watching the anime, or at least we already know from what to expect, that we're going to see Asuna kind of go away from the raiding party to join Knights of the Blood. We're going to see the other main players come into play. We're going to see Laughing Coffin be more involved. Whether this character I'm speaking of is going to be involved in that movie remains to be seen. But overall, the fact of the matter is that we got duped in this movie. And like I said earlier, and I'm going to say it again, they did Asuna wrong in this movie. Like,
you want to know why?
They sold her out. They completely sold her out.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because fucking Kirito's in it.
You can't blame Kiri Boy for everything.
I totally fucking can.
No, yeah, we can blame him for everything.
I totally fucking can. Oh yeah, first movie. Guess what? I was focused like hella on the story, the plot of the first movie. That was fucking engaging. And then Kirito showed up and saved Asuna at the last fucking minute. I'm like, bull fucking shit.
But are you
fucking kidding me?
But even at that point, when Kirito saved Asuna in the very end of Aryo Stylish Knight, that could have been like a coincidence. Oh, this is a raw Kirito. He's not in his OP form that we know of him just yet. It could have been like, oh, hey, thanks for helping me out. And then they start forming this friendship, but it's not to the point where it's like, oh my God, a month later, they're doing this, this, and this. I just feel that, yeah, we went backwards when it came to Asuna's development. And yes, it could have been because Asuna is maybe at an impasse when it comes to what she is and what she can be. And yeah, maybe she could flourish in the third movie when she becomes, you know, this girl boss in her own right. But we won't know that because we're all guessing upon what we saw in the second movie, which unfortunately is Damsel in Distress. Whether it's the catacombs, whether it's
finding Mito.
I would not say that Mito fight was that reassuring, at least of that category, or at least that.
No, but by all means, that was great. That was great development.
And then of course the Golem fight, but that's all different story. I just feel like what we saw, the direction of Progressive 1 was not there in Progressive 2. And we're having to pray that Progressive 3 goes back to Progressive 1. And maybe it doesn't. Or maybe it does. It's just like, I going into the Progressive series, I thought this was all going to be about Asuna's point of view, which is a lot different than Kirito's point of view. Again, it feels like we went backwards.
That's not really that much of a bad assessment, I'll say that much.
It kind of is for me, because I want to see it from Asuna's point of view.
I'm not saying it was... What I meant by that last statement was, is like, I'm not saying you're necessarily wrong. Like, so that's not really a terrible assessment, considering the fact that we did jump back. That's what I'm trying to get at.
I'm still of the opinion that Asuna's writing as a character would probably flourish a whole lot more if Kirito wasn't in the fucking movie. Because, you know what? I would be interested in Asuna's experience as a commander in the Knights of the Blood Oath. I want to see her adventures outside. How the fuck did she get to know Lisbeth, you know? Like, stuff like that. I want to see.
We're going to see that in the third film.
You can't guarantee that, Ryan.
I can't guarantee it, but like just from reading it, I have to say it's got to be a 90% chance that we're going to see all this development, see how we meet Lisbeth, see how we don't really have to worry about Scylla because that's more Kirito's side of things, but we meet Lisbeth, we know her past, we get to know her before she gets all involved in Kirito, then there's the whole like triangle between her and Asuna, but all that jazz, but then we get to see Asuna Knights of the Blood. We get to see all that development. like I said, Laughing Coffin further. Like, these are my at least, that's going to be on my checklist for the next movie. And if we don't see that, I am thoroughly disappointed.
I'm just saying, though, SAO as a whole, like, and I'm just thinking this movie kind of proves my theory right, or at least it's now a non-zero chance that that's the case. But the story, I'm pretty sure I've said this before in this podcast, the story of SAO is much more interesting when Kirito is not involved. Look at the first movie, and you can't tell me that it wasn't great.
I'm not denying that. I am absolutely exactly. Not denying that.
Okay, so we're in agreement. So and look at Elysianization. Look at War of the Underworld. That shit was great until he woke the fuck up.
Yeah, I'm gonna say
I mean, she got more development in Elysianization even after he woke up, but we'll talk about it another time, but...
I know, I get what you mean, but I'm just saying, like, he just swoops in and becomes the hero, and I'm like, I'm so fucking tired of this. Like, it was some, like, JoJo-level shenanigans, where, like, oh, you get victories unexpected from nowhere, you know, or from, like, the tiniest thing, or, like, from some unexpected... from a character you wouldn't think would actually be the one to... like solve the fight, stuff like that. That's the fun. That's the kind of thing I want to see. Except, you know, we get more slashy slashy. Oh, I believe in myself and how I see myself. Yada yada.
Okay, would you accept movie 2 if Kirito was in it, but it's not? Less screen time, or he's there, but Asuna doesn't get saved every single time. Yeah, the whole Mito saving Asuna is probably a lot different than Kirito saving Asuna because of the
plot. That is an entirely different ballpark.
No, I've said that before. I wholeheartedly agree. Like, if it weren't for Kirito saving Asuna's ass, you know, like, literally, figuratively, I would say that the movie would be far superior for it because, yeah. Hey, look, this is Asuna's fight. This is Asuna's battle. This is about this girl, it's supposed to be another side, another story, you know?
It's the other side, like how we see like a middle, like not even middle age, but like, you know, a young, like middle school student, kind of like rich and like kind of not giving a crap. Or like she gives a crap, but she's like not really like enjoying life to the max. And then
I think it's more that how I want to say it's like Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories. You go in there thinking it's gonna be about Sora, Donald and Goofy. We're all gonna have this fun adventure on the GBA. Yeah, yeah. All the what fun? Next thing you know, oh my god, I'm playing as Riku now. That shit's sick. That's the reaction I want from seeing Asuna's perspective. That's the shit. That's the good shit. But the minute it goes back to fucking Kirito, it's like, it's old hat. Don't get me wrong. I love playing as Sora in Kingdom Hearts, but let me play someone else. You know, let me be Axel or Lee or whatever his name is. Let me play as Kyrie. Let me play as anybody else but Sora. I love Sora to death. I really do. I love the kid. But Jesus, let me play as someone else. That's why I loved Birth by Sleep.
In the ring. Put her in the ring. Like, count me in, coach. Like, you know, like... I get what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I want to see from Progressive. But it's not right now. I had so much hope from the first movie. And the second movie was like... I wanted to like it. I really did. But I can't. It's just mid.
I'm still going to go to One of the Women, and then you guys don't have to agree with me. I still like the movie.
Well, speaking of the movie, I think it's time for us to kind of get to what we've all been alluding, which is the accumulating final boss fight, which is with the Golem. And, you know, with A1 Pictures animating this whole fight, it's so crisp, it's so clean. Yeah, we've been talking about the whole... Asuna's trapped, here comes Mito, but that's a whole different other thing. But Ryan, you had something, you had two nickels on you that you wanted to talk about with regarding this fight.
So
Ryan's 2 cents.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, thank you. So not taking from Jay's boxer. Not taking it from Jay's point of view, but I mean, yeah, let me get the whole iFixit toolkit out here.
This commentary brought to you by iFixit.
This? I'm like, sorry.
You don't use iFixit?
Do you iFixit, bro? Seriously.
We interrupt this video to bring you a special message from iFixit. No, we interrupt this interruption with this interruption about new stuff from iFixit. Wish you had a new graphics card, but inventory sucks. Fix the inventory problems with iFixit. Whoa, don't drop it. Can't fix that with iFixit. Just kidding, yes you can. Wish you could take iFixit with you anywhere, but your pockets aren't big enough? Introducing the new Moray.
And the new Minnow.
Take them with you anywhere. So get iFixit for your loved ones, or just get them for yourself.
Why are you using Corsair headphones? I swear to God, use this headphone.
One of these days, boys. One of these days. And I bet you know what would be hilarious is one of these days we have the when we're actually reviewing another Sword Art movie that we actually do get the iFixit sponsored. Like, oh, hell yeah. I got it. So, as I was trying to say earlier in the pod, and like, honestly, like, this is where I have to like kind of stray away from Matt's opinion about this being a whole damsel in distress kind of thing going on. I do have to say, this is more of Mito's redemption arc.
Well, that's what I said, is that on the surface, it feels like, oh, it's another damsel in distress scenario. But if you remember what happened in the previous movie, and even what happened, you know, 15 minutes ago with the whole duel, you know, it makes more sense that way. It's just like, at that moment, you know, it all blends together. That, oh my God, here comes Kirito, here comes Mito to be both the White Knights for Asuna.
I get it. They're both kind of respectively her shining like knight in shining armor. Not to mention both like her crush, but also like the fact that her best friend and in real life is kind of like coming to her aid finally. But if you think out of it, you kind of have to think of it not from like Asuna or Kirito's perspective in this one. You have to really think through Mito's head at this rate. Because like she's like, oh, I'm not joining them. You lost the fight. I'm not going. But like, I really appreciate everything you did. And kind of that realization that, you know, she is trying to forgive herself. And as I said earlier, trying to forgive herself for the fuck ups that she did to Asuna. But because she fucked up, she's realized that she has strength, but there's other things that she can do to make the world of SAO a better place, given that she's trying to help other players in place of her fuck up. And not to mention also, I don't think it would be very, how do I put this? It wouldn't be in the right perspective, or at least in the right regard, to leave Asuna hanging again in her time of need, despite the fact that she ran an Aria. But now she's finally back to redeem herself here in Scherzo. So this is why, like, I'm trying to say, this kind of like last second Mito like appearance is totally her redemption arc. But we will see more of Mito in the other movie. I have no doubt about it. It's just from that point of view, this last battle that we saw for this big boss fight, it was essential that we, even without Mito, we still had Argo, who had all her skills that was put into play. I mean, thank God we had that whole fight between her and Argo in the middle movie to actually see more of Argo. Because you have to remember, in the actual anime, I know this is not kind of like foreign to you, Matt, but in the actual anime, compared to what we see in the movie, we hardly know anything about Argo. She is mostly in the shadows, and the only time that you really see Argo in the anime is just when she's needed for information, or that's that one little slight advantage on how to beat one of the bosses. But now that we actually see more of her skill, more of her athleticism, more of her overall, more Argo, more Mito, more everything, we can't just focus on Asuna, or cannot really say Asuna was really a damsel in distress at this rate because of this redemption. I cannot, and I shall not say that this is definitely not that same kind of Kirito feel.
No, and I totally get it. It's just, again, on the surface, it just feels like it. But if you play the first two movies back to back, it makes more sense. I mean, after I got explained to me, I'm like, oh yeah, that's more like it. But still, the fight was great. And, you know, it was, you know, the fact that, oh shit, this is a lot different than the beta. It just threw a wrench in their plans, and it was just like so cool to like to see like their tactics and what they were doing. It was a great culmination fight for the movie.
Definitely. I definitely would say like it's definitely one of the more selling points of the movie. I mean, given most of the fights that we've seen throughout the entire movie of Scherzo, I have to say it was like probably one of the favorite fights outside of maybe the bathhouse, but also just everything else that happened in the movie. This was definitely one of the big turning points and one of the big like, oh, this is going to hype up the audience, or like, let's hype up the audience before we have to send them off to the real world, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, and so right after the boss fight, we all figure out, hey, who's got the flag? Of course, Mito has the flag, and then Kirito gets the flag from Mito, and then one of the two
capture the flag. So Mito gets the flag
recovered.
Yeah.
Gives it to Kirito, and then we have the guidelines. So here's the ground rule.
Well, no. I don't care about the ground rule. I care what happens afterwards, because then one of the guilds comes up. They try to get the flag. Kirito says, no, here are my ground rules. I don't give a fuck about that part. And then, like, Asuna's, like, really feeling really, 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 really bad. So, of course, she's like, I really like you, Kirito. I'm going to give you a big giant hug, and I'm going to have your head rest right on some nice soft pillows.
He said administratively.
You know what I wanted to yell at the movie theater when I saw that? I wanted to yell out 16.5 so badly.
You shut your fucking poor mouth, and you want to keep going this direction? We do know half a week from now, we're roasting. We roasting again. And we know how the last 2 years went.
Oh.
Ricky wrote 16.5, and it's the worst display of trying to fuck Kirito. The second line of this is quote, Kirito, hurry up and take your clothes off, she said administrative tone.
We're going back to season one here, because that was the only time that she was administrative.
Oh, no.
Now,
one other thing. It's like I'm just going through it. It's like what, Kirito? Don't look so closely.
What kind of fanfic is this?
It's not a fanfic. It's official.
Oh, shoot. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
It's official. You know what? In the end? Oh, shit. You know what? In the end, Asuna deserves to have 2 years of fucking semen glopped inside of her. Okay, we're gonna have to shift some plan. We're gonna have to shift some stuff around. We may have some people missing when the next time we record, but I think we're gonna be roasting some people. I really, fuck it, let's go for it. But no, as soon as I saw that scene, everyone started cheering it there. It's like, you know, I cheered just like, yeah, Kirito, get yours, boy. Like, yeah, son.
I was internally fangasm.
Of course you were, Mr. I love Asuna so much.
Well,
of course. You just close your eyes for a second. Pretend that was you on those soft pillows of hers. Come on.
I mean, if I really wanted to be a sicko, I could always just do that with my body pillow or one of my figures, or, you know, I could be one of those creeps, but no.
I don't think you would do that to your expensive ass figure you just got. I mean, unless you want to put some Elmers on it.
Hell no. I am not. I am not defacing any of these figures specifically.
Oh, man. Ugh. Hey, you know what, people? You know what? There are people out there who want it, and there are people out there who pay for it. So I'm just saying, it's OnlyFans career path if anybody's interested.
To the fuck no.
Wow.
This is quite a bit, quite disturbing change of events.
All I had to say was administratively. That's all I need to say.
Administrative tone.
You know he breaks those privileges, right? You know it's true, Jericho. You know it.
So, anything else besides the movie before we move on to some other reviews that's not ours?
No, I mean, I pretty much said my piece about the film. Like I said, I wanted to like it, but it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. If I had to give it a rating, it'd be a mid out of 5.
I'd give it a 7.5.
Oh.
Out of 14?
Out of 10.
I'll give it a solid 7. So, that's our scores, but what does internet have to say?
Needs more water. That's too much water.
These were water, yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely is more water. So,
nice quote.
what does the internet say about this movie? So, first off, we're gonna go to, of all places, Rotten Tomatoes. We're gonna ignore the tomato meter score. We're gonna look at the audience score. Right now, with 250 verified ratings, we're at a 93%. Some of these reviews, I'm just gonna read to you, and there's one that's really funny, and that's the second one. So, the first one says, I'm a big fan of SAO in general, and getting to see some of the stuff not covered by the series is amazing. Okay, that's true.
Okay.
The next one. It was a nice throwback. Okay, keep in mind, this person rated it 3 out of 5. It was a nice throwback to season 1. Music was great. Something was definitely missing. Maybe their daughter.
Nice.
Okay, actually, before we continue, may I say, and may I maybe ask for the agreement of you two, I don't want to say a comparison to Progressive 1. Audio-wise, or at least the score, what are we thinking, guys?
Audio,
music's great, period.
Music's great, audio presentation was great, the mixing was great, everything about that side of the movie was fantastic. Top-notch.
You know something that was missing, though? And you, Matt, feel free to cue this in if you really want to. There was no coffee soda, give me something, you know? There was none of that in this movie. There was it showed up in the first film, but we haven't seen it since. Will we see it in the third movie? I don't know. But it's like, no, the music was great. Honestly, I think Outlier did a great opener to be kind of as the ender in the movie. I mean, like, it's one of the main, it's the main theme of the movie, but I mean, overall, the music was great. I'm glad that they can keep a good score. Like, I've always enjoyed the music of SAO. Now, you guys can quote me at the unquote, but ideally, I always have thoroughly enjoyed the music of SAO.
Oh, no.
And I think this shows through.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The music is top-notch. It's probably the only good thing in my point of view of this franchise. And maybe some of the visuals. And sit on. But unfortunately, that is GGO. And this is SAO.
Hey, let me look at a perspective real quick, though. What if, and this is a huge what if.
Not Saber was a pretty good girl.
Wait, who?
Not Saber.
Not Saber. Okay, so hear me out, guys. What if, and this is a huge major what if. We go, like, we get past Aincrad, we get past Fairy Dance, we go back to Gungale. What if we look through everything through Sinon and eventually, you know, like, all through Sinon's eyes?
Oh, I'm a fit of nut, boy.
Yeah, definitely. But that just reinforces my point. You know, SAO is better without focusing on Kirito.
But it's better if it doesn't focus on Asuna either. I need somebody else besides that. And it's my best girl, Sinon, baby. Let's go.
I mean, technically for Gunga, we did have Alternative, but
yeah, Alternative was great. Alternative, but just great. Reinforces my point. I love Alternative. I would kill for another season of Alternative, to be honest.
I'd kill for another season of Alternative, or we go back to the whole what if scenario with Xenon, but we also have the integration of maybe some parts of Alternative as well before this whole Kirito involvement gets in. I mean, it's a huge what if, but I think they could play it off. Now, I'm going to say my final what if, Mother Rosario, but all from Yuki's perspective before all that happened.
Oh, that would just make me sad.
I abstain. Okay. So maybe that's being a little too courageous. But I honestly, though, I think if they want,
like, make a sob story, like, geez, yeah, just animate Yuki's perspective the entire time. Like, Christ, man.
Oof.
So, I want to read you a longer review from Rotten Tomatoes. This one says, the movies changed a few things from the novels, which makes sense due to time. But even those changes were still very faithful to the source material, even the same dialogue. Studying visuals, performances, audio, and story make this a strong improvement from the original SAO. It has none of the flaws that deterred fans with the original anime adaptation. It keeps all the strength. Even the SAO haters have to admit the first series is great, and they fix all the things that they didn't like. True. The characters feel more grounded, more interesting, and the animation from A1 is top tier. I hope they continue the progressive series in movies and in books.
Well, we have the light novels and the mangas. So we can't really claim that last statement. However, should it continue what this reviewer said, it'd definitely be a great movie franchise, or at least a great way to see SAO, as we explained. And when I first initially got you on this bandwagon, not really, I won't say bandwagon, but I will say when I really got you into actually wanting to attempt this series, Matt. So I'm definitely with a feeling with this reviewer here.
There's another review here. I want me to read it out.
Yeah, go ahead.
Unfortunately, I had a flat tire on the way and didn't make it to the movies. As per Fandango refund policies, no refunds or exchanges once it's showtime, and I didn't get the tire fixed until after the show started. So that's $50 down the drain. Best to pay when you show up, then prepay and chance losing your money. Sure, it would have been a great movie, though.
Oh, shit. This review was definitely not helpful.
That was definitely not helpful.
No, it's helpful. It's practical advice.
It is true, but you know, I mean,
you can't say it's not helpful.
I'm gonna say you do you, boo. That's just from Rotten Tomatoes, but another website that people like to use a lot is My Anime List, or MAL for short. And I'm about to rip off a. I'm going to rip off a question from another podcast, and that is, do you want to guess the MAL score for Sword Art Online Progressive Shizuro of a Deep Night? Wow, I got that wrong.
Wow.
The second SEO Progressive.
This is
going to be really bad. I already 6.9. Is it by a percentage or is it by an actual review number?
It's out of 10. But it's two decimal points.
Solid 2 out of 10 is what the
Say. So for example, so
it's like 6.2 or something.
Yeah, 6.2. For example, for all anime, the number one rated anime of all time is Full Metal Brotherhood at 9.11. Which, by the way, has reclaimed the top spot from Bleach.
Yeah.
So
Reddit.
Yeah, you did it, Reddit. You got FMA Brotherhood back on top.
I already know that this is going to be a shitstorm, but I'm going to go on a rough basis of not looking at it and say 4.5.
Jericho?
I still stand by 6.9.
You guys are way off.
Oh.
Higher or lower?
Way higher. With just 5,999 users, so one shy of 6,000, Sword Art Online, the second progressive movie, is sitting at 7.63.
Hey, at least my personal score was not far off.
I thought mine was funny.
Now, do you want to guess the mouse score for Arya Stellar's Knight?
Oh, Arya's got to be a solid 9.5.
9.5? That'd be the number one.
No. Okay, so yeah, no. That would be surpassing Brotherhood. No.
Yeah.
Let's turn it down a notch. Let's say a solid 8.
Jericho?
It's probably an 8.
With just above 68,000 users, SEO Progressive Arya Stellar's Knight is sitting at 8.01.
Hey.
But what about Ordinal Scale?
Ordinal Scale. Okay. So I'm definitely going to say it's higher than Scherzo, but it's definitely not higher than Arya. If I had that's my assumption. But I'm going to let Jericho go real quick.
Probably going to be lower than Scherzo, so probably a 6. Okay. Solid 7.
Okay.
If I had to rate it, now this is kind of a bit, I might be a bit biased. I'm going to say it's going to be...
Well, it's not much what you rate it, it's what they rate it.
No, off the assumption of what I would score it, or off the assumption of how I think the majority would score it, it's going to be better than Scherzo. Better than Arya? Not quite.
Oh, hell no.
7.8.
7.8?
With just above 425,000 reviews, so this is a whole much more than both progressive movies combined, Sword Art Online movie Ordinal Scale ranks at 7.57.
Oh, wow.
Close.
Yeah, but it's lower right now than progressive. And that's with 425,000 reviews.
I ponder, though. I do ponder at the results of what it was when it first was around before any of the progressive movies existed, though. Do we have that data?
Oh.
Do we have any historical data on
that? I don't think Mal works that way. And it's unfortunate. Uh-uh. That'd be very interesting to see. Actually, you know what? Let's try something. You said progressive, right? I mean, Ordinal Scale,
yeah. What was the original rating before progressive came out? Or at least, if we can't go to like straight to progressive 1, at time of release, like we're looking at it right now.
So how far back do you want to go?
Well, what data do we have?
2016.
So 2016, when Ordinal Scale was out.
When did Ordinal Scale come out?
February 18th.
No, February of 2017. So let's go to March 2019. The Ordinal Scale movie was ranked at 7.99.
Oh, wow.
See, I wasn't far off either now or then.
Yeah. And at the time, it was ranked by 163,000 users. So that was as of March 2019. So yeah, the score of Ordinal Scale has tanked over the last 3-ish years. And that could be because of the progressive movie. I just don't know. But so out of all of the movies that A1 Pictures ever made, the progressive one movie is fourth highest rated, and the second SCL progressive movie is ninth all rated. And then Ordinal Scale is 12th ranked all rated. Is 12th ranked highest. Some of the movies you may recognize, the three Persona movies, are sitting at around ranging from 7.60 to 8.01 for Winter Rebirth. Above progressive is the Black Butler movie, Book of the Atlantic, with just a shade under 82,000 people. It is ranked at 8.25. And then the highest rated A1 Pictures movie, which is 1,675 rated views, that would be Kaguya-sama Love is War, The First Kiss That Never Ends, rated at 8.61.
Yeah, baby!
Speaking of, that movie's coming out again for a release.
Yes. And that would put... And that puts and that puts A1 Pictures as highest rated movie at number 17 all time when it comes to anime movies. And of course, it's not going to sniff the top five, which is two Gintama movies, A Silent Voice, The Violet Evergarden Movie, and Your Name. Some other note, right below it, number 7 is Spirit Away. Number 8 is The Fates Day Night Movie, Heaven's Feel Part 3, Spring Song. Mononoke Hime is right below that. The Mugen Train Movie is at number 12. Right below that is Evangelion 3.0 plus 1.0. Right below that is the Bunny Girl Senpai Movie. Below that is the Disappearance of Hadi Suzumiya. So the progressive movies and Ordinal Scale and SCL General will never sniff the top movies, but it's still a decently ranked movie. I mean, it's not like for A1.
It's not out in the bleeders, pretty much.
No, I think like the Uta no Prince Sama movies, 7.35. The Blur Exorcist, The Blur Exorcist movie is at 7.58. The first Verito movie is at 7.37. So Uta Prince Sama movie is at 6.6. So it's not totally a bad one. So I think in closing, progressive took a step back. I mean, I made this joke a little bit. It's not Sword Art Online progressive, it's Sword Art Online conservative in a way.
Sword Art Online regressive?
Regressive? Not exactly. Because, for some of the things that happened in the movie, we did take two steps back. But, there were some things. That, if what Ryan is saying is correct, this movie's going to, the third four movies are going to bounce back and we're going to get the proper point of view that we've been all seeking. And it's not a bad movie. It's not like I'm watching, I don't know. So what's a bad movie that we all know? It's not like I'm watching Morbius.
I don't know, man. He morbed everywhere. It was a movie. It was definitely a movie. It was definitely a movie of all time.
So yeah. Any
bad that one scene comparisons? Where he morbed all over Matt Smith character. God damn.
I think our bottom line is that Sword Art Online, the movie Progressive, Arya Stardust Night, the sequel is mid.
Yeah. Certified mid.
Okay.
I'm not going to give it a high rating, but mid. It's got my thumb of approval. I'm sorry, guys.
But it's like a weak thumb.
Yeah, it's like
it's not a full-on thumbs up. It's like you're kind of hesitant. It's like you're hesitating to put the thumbs up. It's like it's barely there. Like, you're trying, but it's like you kind of don't want to. It's like that.
I'm just going to say in closing, though, I hope that my checklist is right. I'm actually going to go reference this episode when we come back to whatever night it becomes for the third movie. However, like, I really, really am in hopes, and I am pretty sure this is going to be an agreement between the three of us, that we just don't see this flip-flop behavior all over again.
But
is
it for the better if we go back to Asuna's point of view? But
well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, we're seeing all the major flip-flops for this movie. I'm hoping that it just goes back straightly to Asuna. If we have to flop to some other characters, fine, because we're going to see some more of the crew come around. I'm just hoping it strictly stays more to Austin's perspective, considering the fact that the way it's been leading up to in the end credit scene, or not the end credit scene, but the credits, that we're actually going to see more of the Knights of the Blood progressive, and her progress, that we don't have to see this flip-flop. Now, I'm not going to say too, like, I'm also going to say, like, if it gets to that, but we flop back to what we got with Skirtso on the fourth movie, I'm going to be disappointed. I will be thoroughly disappointed. But I have a lot of reasons to believe that the next couple movies, should there be four, will lead up to no disappointment whatsoever. Mm. Unless it flip-flops.
Bold claim, Cotton.
Bold claim, Cotton.
Well, we'll see if it holds up.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
And with that, I want to thank you all for listening to another episode of the Calicom Blogcast. If you like what you heard, please follow the podcast, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. And to close this out tonight, I'm going to play you the POV of every other Sword Art Online female lead not named Asuna, courtesy of Joji.
She'd take the world off my shoulders if it was ever hard to move. She'd turn the rain to a rainbow when I was living in the blue. Why then, if she's so perfect,
do I still wish that it was you?
Perfect don't mean that it's working, so what can I do when you're out of sight in my mind? 'Cause sometimes I look in her eyes and that's where I find a glimpse of us. And I try to fall for her touch, but I'm thinking of the way it was. Said I'm fine and said I moved on. I'm only here passing time in her arms, hoping I'll find a glimpse of us.
Tell me, save us your glory. Does he laugh the way I did? Is this a part of your story, one that I had never lived? Maybe one day you feel lonely,
and in his eyes you'll get a glimpse.
Maybe you'll start slipping slowly and find me again when you're out of sight. Sometimes I look in her eyes and that's where I find a glimpse of us. And I try to fall for her touch, but I'm thinking of the way it was. Said I'm fine and said I moved on. I'm only here passing time in her arms, hoping I'll find a glimpse. But I'm thinking of the way you are.